Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I now know that many of you break out into a cold sweat at the mere thought of going to the dentist. When we asked listeners to tell us about their fear of the drill, the responses came flooding in. Here's Sarah Diopsmer from Bozeman, Montana.
To explain my fear of the dentist and how it makes me feel goes back to my childhood when I was growing up in England and they didn't give children Novocaine. The dentist would say, hold on to the chair and start drilling. And the recollection of that pain has never left me.
And Marianne Mason from Seattle.
Just thinking about it now even makes my heart race. Sometimes when I'm in the dentist chair, I'll even start crying uncontrollably. I just keep telling myself if it's a cleaning that there won't be any needle. There won't be any needle.
Our next guest may be able to help Sarah and Marianne, and maybe even you. Lisa Heaton studies dental phobias. She's a clinical psychologist in Washington State. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Peter. It's good to be with you.
And one of the reasons we wanted to speak with you is because for 13 years, you worked in a clinic for dental fear. I did not even know that existed. What did you see there?
Yeah, so we had a dental fear clinic, a specialized dental fear clinic, where psychologists and dentists worked together at the University of Washington School of Dentistry to treat people who were very, very fearful and even phobic about going to the dentist. And so what we saw there were a lot of things that your listeners have spoken about bad experiences in the past that have really made them very hesitant and very fearful to go back to the dentist now. And so it's a very common issue and one that a lot of people struggle with.
So when someone says they're afraid of the dentist, we should believe them, right? Because this is actually a real phobia, panic ensues. It's not an exaggeration.
It is absolutely a real thing. And it's good to differentiate between dental anxiety and fear and dental phobia. So dental anxiety and fear is more of a sort of what one of your listeners talked about, you know, sitting in the chair, sometimes crying. And it can also incorporate things like, you know, sitting in the waiting room and being anxious, maybe the night before being anxious, but still being able to go. People who have a dental phobia, on the other hand, are so fearful of the dentist that the only time that they can bring themselves to go is when they're in really significant pain, and that pain sort of overrides the fear. And we call it a phobia because it gets in the way of other things in their life. There are some studies that suggest as many as 75% of adults in the United States have at least some amount of anxiety about going to the dentist. And we know that dental phobia, which are these folks who really can't go unless they're really in dire straits in terms of pain, that's more about 10% of the adults in the U.S.
Well, I believe that it's common. I was shocked at the amount of response we got from people when we asked for them to share their stories. Here is one of our listeners, Janine Duffy. She's from Arlington, Massachusetts.
My fear of going to the dentist dates back to being a kid. I had braces. I had to have teeth removed because I had extra teeth. Anything regarding the dentist put a deep, deep fear in me.
You know, we heard a lot of that mm-hmm. all of it started when they were children because they had a bad experience as a child. How common is that?
That's very common. There have been some studies that surveyed adults with dental fear, and about 75% of them said that it was brought on by a negative childhood experience, which makes sense when you think about it, because if your earliest experiences with something are all negative and painful and scary, that's something that will can very often stay with you into adulthood. And so a number of people that I talked to in the dental fears clinic talked about negative experiences, but also a number of people that I talked to really couldn't point to anything in particular and just said, this is just something that's always been really difficult for me.
So how do we make sure this doesn't happen to our kids?
Yeah, great question. So the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry recommends that parents bring their kids to the dentist, usually by about the first year of age or about the time the first tooth shows up. And part of it is to make sure that their teeth are coming in straight and without any decay. But also a big part of it is to bring the kids to the dentist when it's easy and it's fun and they're just taking a ride in the chair and they get a toy afterwards and it's this big adventure. Just get them used to it. Exactly right. And that's a big part of it.
We get a lot of feedback from people who say that their dentist just didn't have any patience or compassion for their fears. And that, you know, obviously isn't helpful. Do you think dentists themselves can be a part of the problem?
I think sometimes that is true. And I think just like all healthcare providers, some are better at connecting with their patients than others. The really good news is that dental schools have become much more aware of this need to train their dental students to approach people who are fearful in a way that can really help patients feel much more comfortable.
I'm just thinking back to that person we heard from who said when she was a child, the dentist didn't even use Novocaine, which feels like... yeah, that's a no-brainer. All right. Look, here's another piece of tape from Yanni Hansen. She's from White River Junction in Vermont. She blamed her fear of the dentist on something that really surprised me, her red hair.
Well, it's well documented in a white paper that redheads have a low tolerance for pain, especially in the mouth. And I, like most redheads, need more medication to block that pain. Sometimes I do cancel an appointment days ahead because I am too anxious.
So again, that really surprised me. Is there any truth to what she's saying, that people with red hair might be more likely to fear the dentist? And also, are the dentists aware of that?
That's a great question. I think this is something that dentists have heard about for a long time from their patients. And individuals who have red hair have a variant of a gene called melanocortin 1 receptor gene. Some of the studies that look at individuals with this variant have found that people do need more anesthetic to become numb. There has been one study that looked at individuals with this gene variant, and they were much more likely to report dental fear and dental avoidance, as Yanni said, about canceling appointments ahead of time. So there are lots of different types of anesthetics they can use. There are different anesthesia techniques that they can use. It makes everything much easier for everybody involved, especially the patient, but also for the dentist when the patient is nice and numb and comfortable.
This conversation is interesting to me, but it's also really important for people and for the health of the people who suffer from this fear of the dentist, because it was, as we just heard Yanni say, she cancels appointments sometimes, and people do often skip going to the dentist, sometimes for many years, because they're afraid of going to the dentist. What are the consequences of all this?
We know that there can be really some significant consequences to that. So the first thing that we think about is tooth decay. When people avoid for long periods of time, sometimes those cavities can become much larger and they can become painful and cause toothaches. And then people are looking at either having to have the tooth taken out or having to have a root canal procedure, which is a much longer procedure. Another thing that can happen is people can have periodontal disease or gum disease. And if that's not treated over the course of time, people can lose teeth as a consequence of that. And so there are, you know, a lot of oral health consequences to avoiding the dentist over a significant period of time.
So how do we help these people so that they're not afraid anymore, or if they are, that they can get to a place where they can manage it and get themselves into the chair?
What I always encourage people to do is call and see if you can talk to the dentist before you even go in. And this could be a phone call, it could be a video chat, to tell the dentist about your concerns and what your history is. And then the dentist can tell you what kinds of things they can do to help you feel more comfortable. I think that's a big part of it. Some of the things that can be really helpful is thinking about really positive consequences. A lot of the patients that I worked with would kind of repeat to themselves while they were in the chair, I'm going to be really proud of myself when this is done, or I'm going to buy myself a really nice pair of shoes or something like that, whatever rewards happen to work for them. Dentists can also talk to patients about different kinds of sedation that might be helpful for them. So everything from laughing gas all the way up to IV sedation, which is a deeper form of sedation, but can be helpful for patients as well. So I think having those conversations can be really helpful.
Just don't make your reward a candy bar. That's the thing. Right?
Well, you can have the candy bar. Just brush your teeth afterwards.
Lisa Heaton is a clinical psychologist in Seattle, Washington. Lisa, thank you so much. I hope that we helped people who are afraid of the dentist, consider calling and making an appointment to get into the chair. Thank you so much for your help.
It's been a pleasure, Peter. Thanks for having me.